Supper. This is for those who are believers who have been born again through the new covenant, believers in Yeshua, Jesus. And for those, for your information, the trays are split between grape juice and wine. Please choose accordingly. Yeshua came to be the sacrifice for all of us. Rav Shaul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Yeshua, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, took matzah, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and in so doing, eat of the bread and drink of the cup." The body of the Lord, the matzah of Passover, which is the bread of affliction. He was wounded and afflicted for us. By his stripes we were healed. Please say the Baruch with me. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And the cup that he lifted up and said that this is the new covenant, symbolized of his blood, shed for us for the remission of sins. Say it with me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei uri ha'av. Blessed are you, Lord, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Please pass your cups to the aisles. Thank you. As is our custom at Ohel Yisrael, this time we say the Kaddish prayer. If there's anyone here who is remembering the yard site or the recent loss of a near relative and would like to say the Kaddish, please stand at this time. From the bulletin, we notice that we have Doug Stearman's grandmother, Chaya Golda Myers. Those who are saying the Kaddish, join with me as we prepare to see it presented to us on the overhead. There it is. Join with me. Everyone else, please respond at the appropriate times. Yitgadal v'yitgadash shemei rabba. V'yalma v'yivra kirute v'yamlich malchute v'yatzmach purkane v'yikarev meshike v'chayechon u'yomechon Mufkaye Bekol Beit Israel Bagala Ubizman Kari Bimru Amen. Yehe Shme Rabba Nebora Leola Ulalme Almain. Yit Barak, Vayish Tabak, Vayit Ha'ar, Vit Romam, Vit Nase, Vit Adar, Vit Ale, Vit Alal, Shme Ekudesha, Reku, Leila Mi Kol Irkata. Veshirata, Tushbakata, Venechemata, the Amiran, the Alma, the Imru, Amen. Yehe Shlama Rabba, Min Shemaya, the Chagim, Aleinu, Rialkol, Israel, the Imru,
Amen.
Ose Shalom, Bim Roma, Uya Ase Shalom, Aleinu, Rialkol, Israel, the Imru,
Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, we are going to recognize new members. Bruce, you want the napkins, the Kleenex? Here you go, Bruce. You might want to wrap that up before you hand it to him.
There we go. Yeah, that's the unclean section of the congregation.
That's why we have the mic. We've given you the microphone so you can announce new members. Okay. Well, in case you want to say anything, you don't want to say anything.
All right. We just want to welcome and acknowledge a fine family that's been a member of the congregation in the past and returned a while ago, and we're acknowledging that. So Mark and Nona Faber and their family. Over here by the door, we welcome and recognize those members of the congregation. So, thank you all so much. I want to give us a word of greeting here.
They were members of the congregation, but these turkeys left. Where did you go?
Went to Turkey.
Yeah,
twice. Part of the family.
Welcome back.
That's what we like to hear.
We've been here over 10 years, and we heard this place was a cult. And we just wanted to make sure that was true. We're very grateful to be a member of a family.
Thank you. I don't remember which child it was, but she had delivered one of her children, And I think she delivered like on a Thursday. Saturday morning, she was sitting right here. So you can see it is a cult. Now Ron's going to give us our announcements this morning, then we'll have our message.
All right. We're a little behind. Let's just run through these as quick as we can, and remember to take these with you. So, today, time will be announced upstairs, but hopefully somewhere between 1:15 and 1:30, here in the sanctuary, Bet Midrash is going to be given. Scott will be giving them the teaching today on the customary Jewish service. And next week, Willett Ali will be teaching Preparing for Pesach, a real nine-step program. So for those of you who don't know how to do that, that would be a good class for you to attend next week. Corporate prayer is Wednesday here, 1 p.m. Worship team practice, March 8th, 7:30 here. We dance practice March the 10th, 1 p.m. here. Choir is going to be rehearsing the 15th of March, 7:30 here p.m. There is an Erev Shabbat service this month, and it's going to be on March 16th. It starts at 8 p.m., so we'd like to start if we can on time. I know it's difficult on a Friday night to get people here, but if you can, it'd be appreciated. And the ladies' Bible studies at the usual places on the 28th at 7:30. Also remember, this year, there is not going to be a congregational Seder. So Seders will be at homes. The first one is April 6th, I believe, for your Seder at home. If you would like to host one or you want to learn how to do one, please let the elders know. If you don't know how to do it, there's going to be some teachings on how to conduct a Seder. There's going to be a Purim Carnival tomorrow. And we still need people to sign up. There's a sign-up roster outside in the foyer. If you are going to be here and you can be here, please sign up to help run some of the games and some of the other things can be done. We have to put things up. We can't start any earlier than 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you got to put, it takes about 2 hours to get this place ready for the Purim Carnival. Comes down much quicker, but it takes about 2 hours to put it together. If we're going to start at 5, we have to be here at 3. And we can't start earlier than 3 because Lucena, the congregation before us, has this place until 3 o'clock. But if you can come, please do so. And please sign up to help. We also need cakes. We always have a cake walk. And some people get out of here with 4, 5, 6 cakes. So if you can donate a cake tomorrow, that'd be really appreciated as well. So see Shirley Johnson. For those of you who've never been on one of these cake walks, they're a lot of fun. And like I said, people go home, take the cakes, and everybody gets sugared up. So work through well. There's going to be a fast semester corporate prayer on March 6th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay, that's a Wednesday. So if you're able to fast during that period of time, we'll do that. This is in conjunction with Asher and Trader. So he's a very led man. I think that's the best way I can put it, in my opinion. He's a very led man to do the Lord's work. And he asked for assistance during this time, so if you can help during that prayer time, that'd be a very good thing. Also, there will be no morning service on Shabbat on the 7th of April because we're going to have a service in the evening. Instead, we're going to have an end of Shabbat service that'll start at 7:30 p.m. So remember, if you're here for a 10 o'clock service in the morning, you're going to be here by yourself. Doesn't mean you can't wait outside if you want, but you'll be there a long time. So remember, it's going to be 7:30 here for end of Shabbat. We'll conclude that service with Abdallah and go into a Yom HaPikurim service. So hopefully we'll be out of here about 9:30 that evening. And as I said, the Purim Festival is tomorrow from 5 to 8 or so, and it takes about an hour get this place taken down and put away. So, thank you, and as always, take these with you. And oh, by the way, a lot of this stuff is on the OHEV website on the calendar. So if you need to, you can look it up on the web and see these things there as well. So thank you.
Michael's coming forward. For those of you who have not signed up to host, we can use more hosts. You don't have to know a lot to host. We'll teach you everything you need to know. But I just wanted to read this this one section. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. So this is a feast that really is supposed to be celebrated house by house. And it says, if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Now, we're probably not having lamb, but the idea is you should get together with your neighbors and have Passover. So I'm encouraging you to really consider that. Please see me if I've just inspired you to host a Passover Seder.
Okay, I need the microphone, please. I may have it. Let's see.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm glad I was able to make it today. I had a minor flu, and I'm coming out of it now. Demonstrating that I'm the leader of the family, my wife got it after me. So she's working through it right now. And I was brought here by my friend Tammy. Have you met Tammy? It's Tammy Flu. Okay. You're getting a small taste of what to expect here.
Did you get some resilient mind?
Thank you, Lord. I ask your blessing upon this message, and a blessing upon all who hear it. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. I'm going to tell you some things about Purim that may surprise you. First, the celebration of Purim was not commanded by God. It was merely declared, as we read it at the end of the book of Esther, as a memorial of God's intervention to save the Jewish people from destruction during the Babylonian exile. Now, this is what's written about the origins of Purim. It's a little long. I'm going to read from the end of the book of Esther, but hang in there while I read it to you because it's important. It's Esther chapter 9, verses 20 to 32. Mordechai recorded these events and sent letters to all the Jews in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, instructing them to observe the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day every year, to commemorate the days on which the Jews obtained rest from their enemies and the month which for them was turned from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday. They were to make them days of celebrating and rejoicing, sending portions of food to each other and giving gifts to the poor. So the Jews took it upon themselves to continue what they had already begun to do, and as Mordechai had written to them, because Haman, the son of... Because Haman, the son of Hamdallah, I guess this is pronounced Agagi, the Agagi. If I'm mispronouncing it, somebody let me know how it's supposed to be pronounced. The enemy of the Jews had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had thrown poor, that is, cast lots, to crush and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he ordered by letters that Haman's wicked wicked scheme which he had plotted against the Jews should recoil on his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. This is why these days have been called Purim, after the word pur. Thus, because of everything written in this letter, and what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had come upon them, the Jews resolved and took upon themselves that their descendants and all who might join them, that without fail they would observe these 2 days in accordance with what was written in this letter, and at the appointed time every year, and that these days would be remembered and observed throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim would never cease among the Jews, or their memory be lost by their descendants. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordechai the Jew, gave full written authority to confirm a second letter about Purim. He sent copies of it to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, ensuring their peace and security, and requiring the observance of these days of Purim at their designated times, as Mordechai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had established for themselves their descendants concerning matters of fasting and lamenting. At Esther's order, these matters of Purim were confirmed and put in writing in a book. So, the annual celebration of Purim was not commanded by God, but rather by Mordechai.
Yay.
And subsequently endorsed by Esther. Not only that, but the book of Esther is one of two books of the Bible in which God's name is not mentioned or referred to even once. The book of Esther doesn't even say that Esther prayed. It only says that she fasted. And we assume that she prayed. If all this causes you pause, it's no wonder, because these are the very reasons why the book of Esther almost missed making it into the Tanakh when the Jewish canon of scripture was decided upon. Now, I started this message from the end of the book of Esther without first laying a foundation of what came before. If I read the entire book to you, we'll be here for quite a long time. So I'm going to give you a condensed version. Are you ready for the condensed version?
Yes.
There was a queen, a stubborn little queen, and Vashti was her name, oh. V-A-S-H-T spells Vashti. V-A-S-H-T spells Vashti. V-A-S-H-T spells Vashti. Vashti was her name, oh. There was a king, an angry Persian king, Ahasuerus was his name, oh. A, A-S-H plus Verosh, A, A-S-H plus Verosh, A, A-S-H plus Verosh, Ahasuerus was his name, oh. This Persian king, this angry little king, he didn't like Queen Vashti, oh. Leave my sight, he said to Vashti. Leave my sight, he said to Vashti. Leave my sight, he said to Vashti. I'll get me a pretty replacement, oh. So they rounded up women and held a contest to find a replacement queen, oh. E-S-T-H-E-R won it. E-S-T-H-E-R won it. E-S-T-H-E-R won it and became the land's new queen, oh. Now there was an evil man in the court of the king, and Haman was his name, oh. H-A-M-A-N spells Haman. H-A-M-A-N spells Haman. H-A-M-A-N spells Haman. He plotted to kill the Jews, oh. Esther had an uncle, a little Jewish uncle, and Mordechai was his name, oh. M-O-R-T-Y spells Morty. M-O-R-T-Y spells Morty. M-O-R-T-Y spells Morty. And Morty learned of the plot-o. So Morty told Esther, Jewish Queen Esther, of the plot to kill the Jews-o. So Esther prayed, we assume. And Esther fasted. Esther prayed and Esther fasted. Esther prayed and Esther fasted. And cooked up a plot of her own-o. So she held some banquets, like Shirley's tea parties, to butter up the king-o. P-A-R-T-Y spells party. P-A-R-T-Y spells party. P-A-R-T-Y spells party. To butter up the king-o. One of the nights, after partying hard, the king couldn't fall asleep-o. So he read from a book of a plot to kill him. He read from a book of a plot to kill him. He read from a book of a plot to kill him. And how he was saved by Morty-o. The king brought him on and asked what to do for a man he wanted to honor-o. Thinking the king meant to honor Haman. Surely the king meant to honor Haman. Haman told the king how to honor the man and was told to honor Morty-o. Haman made a gallows to hang Uncle Morty as he planned to kill all the Jews-o. But Esther revealed that she was a Jewess. Esther revealed that she was a Jewess. Esther revealed that she was a Jewess and the plot to kill her family-o. The king was enraged and made things right and hung Haman on his gallows-o. G-A-L-L-O's spells gallows. G-A-L-L-O's spells gallows. G-A-L-L-O's spells gallows. And hung Haman on his gallows-o. So that's how Purim first began and how the Jews were saved-o. P-U-R-I-M spells Purim. P-U-R-I-M spells Purim. P-U-R-I-M spells Purim. And that's how the Jews were saved. Oh. Yay! Purim is kind of a strange holiday because it has both a light celebratory side to it and also a side that's deadly serious. I don't use the word deadly by accident because before Ahasuerus saw the light, he was a willing participant in Haman's plan to massacre all the Jews in this kingdom. And were it not for God's intervention, he would have. I cannot help but connect the ancient story with the one we are living through today in Iran's threat to annihilate Israel. Look at these similarities. King Ahasuerus and his henchmen, Haman, they were Persians. And what is the land of modern Iran? Persia. Modern Persia, now called Iran, is no longer a kingdom, but rather a Muslim theocracy ruled by its supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The head minister of Iran is no longer Haman. It is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. In the story of Esther, King Ahasuerus is the supreme ruler, and Haman is given the king's delegated authority and power to act as the kingdom's executive and spokesperson. By analogy, in modern Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is the supreme leader, and Ahmadinejad has been delegated his authority and power similar to Haman. In the story of Esther, King Ahasuerus appears as a powerful, behind-the-scenes ruler who allows Haman to have his way in the kingdom. In modern Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is a powerful behind-the-scenes ruler whom we know little about and who appears to allow Ahmadinejad to have his way in Iran, as Aman was given his way in ancient Persia.
Excuse me.
According to the Book of Esther, King Ahasuerus had no basic dislike of the Jews, but he was manipulated by Haman. Haman hated the Jews. And he hated them for not bowing down to him. In modern Iran, we do not hear very much directly from Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, so we can only surmise his position on destroying Israel and the Jews. On the other hand, Ahmadinejad is very clear about it. And we see no indication that Khamenei intends to rein him in. In ancient Persia, the conflict was essentially between the God of Israel and Haman and Ahasuerus. These two established themselves almost as human gods to whom the populace had to bow down upon penalty of death. In modern Iran, Ahmadinejad wants to bring death and destruction upon Israel and the Jewish people because they will not bow down to the Iranians' Muslim god, Allah. You see the analogies. I can go further in these, but I think I've made my point that the Purim story is being repeated in Iran and also elsewhere in the Middle East before our very eyes. Customarily at Purim, we focus on the two heroes of the story, Esther and Mordechai. Let's remember, however, what Esther asked Mordechai to do that we read in chapter 4, verse 16. Go assemble all the Jews to be found in Shushan and have them fast for me, neither eating nor drinking for 3 days, night and day. Also, I and the girls attending me will fast in the same way. Then I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Earlier I said that there's no mention of God or praying to God in the book of Esther, but the inference here is clear, since without relying on God, fasting would have been valueless. Notice that not only did Esther and her attendants fast, but so did all the Israelites in Shushan. I do not intend to take anything away from Esther or Mordechai by saying this, but it was not their fasting and courageous actions alone that moved God to save Israel. It was the corporate prayer and fasting of the Jewish people. The need for the Jewish people and others who support them to fast for the protection of Israel, especially considering what is happening in the Middle East today, should be considered one of the main messages of the Book of Esther. That is why on March 7th of this year, Ohev Yisrael will join with other Messianic Jewish congregations, both in America and in Israel, to fast and pray for Israel's protection from its neighbors who would destroy it, chief among them being Iran. In doing so, we will be relying on the promise in James 5:16, which says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And because we perceive a spirit of anti-Semitism that hovers over the entire Middle East, we might also remember Yeshua's instruction to his disciples, whom they were having trouble ridding of a boy of an unclean spirit. And he said to them, as it is written in Mark 9:29 in the New King James Version, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And so, when that day comes, I hope that many of us on March 7th will, if we don't come to the afternoon prayer session, that in our homes, in our work, wherever we go to work, that we will fast that day, and several times during the day we'll break and go to prayer, lift up Israel, the Jewish people, and ask God for their protection. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this message. Shem Yeshua. Amen. Now, because I have a virus, I don't want to get near the food stuff, so I'm going to let other people handle this from here.
Shabbat, the seventh day, the day on which the Lord rested and was refreshed after creating. So on Shabbat, we remember our Creator. Let's all stand. The wine. The symbol of creation. Join with me. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam. Borei kuri ha-gavren. Amen. The bread, also the symbol of the Lord's provision, that there are two loaves reminding us that on Shabbat, the day that commemorates creation, there was a double portion of manna the day before so that we would not have to gather on Shabbat. Join with me. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Amen. And so Isaac ate of the porridge that he thought had been prepared by Esau, but was prepared by Jacob. And when he was full, he blessed Jacob, thinking he was blessing Esau. But I think a blessing is in order. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yaer Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. If you come to the teaching